From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Evening Edition.
Good evening. I'm Ryan Yamamoto.
And I'm Elizabeth Cook. From mudslides to scattered debris, the Bay Area continues to be in full cleanup mode after Tuesday's destructive storm.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges, clearing the hundreds of trees that came toppling down in the gale force winds. And today we saw crews using chainsaws to cut up and remove a fallen tree from Skyline Boulevard. This is in the Reinhardt Redwood Regional Park.
Two massive cranes are out on 9th Avenue in San Mateo today, continuing the cleanup from Tuesday's storm. They're working to clear a tree that was down by strong winds and is now leaning on a private building. But the cranes are so large that they have to time the removal just right, as even the lower gusts of wind we're experiencing can be dangerous when we're talking about thousands of pounds worth of tree dangling in the air.
These gusts that we've been having, even man-made structures are failing. Even perfectly healthy trees can fail. But it's always good to have your trees checked out, especially after these storms.
The removal has shut down traffic on 9th Avenue between South El Camino Real and Palm Avenue until around 8 o'clock tonight.
And expect another rough and slow morning for commuters trying to drive over the Altamont Pass. Traffic still impacted on 580 in the East Bay. Erosion on the Altamont Pass collapsed a section of retaining wall. Caltrans wrapped up work around 1:30 this afternoon, but the two right-hand lanes on eastbound 580 will stay closed until tomorrow.
On the peninsula, a developing sinkhole on Woodside Road has the area closed from Portola Road to Trip Road. And on Highway 92 between Half Moon Bay and Skyline Boulevard, an 80-foot tree fell across the road, shutting down access in both directions.
And up in the North Bay, Redwood Boulevard is shut down after a mudslide caused it to buckle and break. Crews are assessing the situation. There's no timeline on repairs. And the road in northern Novato runs alongside southbound 101. That's right next to Olympali State Park. And take a look at these remarkable images. The erosion warping about 100 feet of roadway, shattering it and lifting pieces of the road vertically. This is the only way in and out of the park.
Right now, there's no vehicle access. There's not going to be any access along the bike path or the road until this gets repaired. So people won't be able to come to the park and enjoy.
And we're in some for some cold nights ahead. And for more on that, let's check in with meteorologist Darren Peck.
Yeah, we've got these weak weather systems coming our way, Ryan, over the next few days. They don't bring much in the way of rain, really. Maybe a drop of rain in the North Bay. You can see what's going on First Alert Doppler. But what they do instead is they pull the cold air and watch the visualization of the deeper shades of blue spilling into Northern California between now and Saturday. We're going to feel this mostly in the mornings, and we're going to start with it tomorrow. Tomorrow morning lows are down into the mid-30s in the North Bay Valleys, but for the major communities, the more rural you get and the more internal you get into some of those inland valleys, colder the numbers are going to get. So if we take a look at just the headline on this, there's a frost advisory. That's tomorrow through Saturday. And it does get colder as we go into Saturday and Sunday. Just take a look at the dropping bars here. We were around 38 this morning. Tomorrow, some of those colder inland valleys are 34. And then you'll keep going down. We'll get you down to like 32 by the time we get to Sunday. I'll be back with the rest of the forecast coming up in a bit. We'll talk about the rest of the weekend then, guys. I'll see you then.
All right, Darren, thanks so much. People of the Oakland Zoo are breathing a sigh of relief after the storms damaged one of their large bird enclosures, letting out six valued birds. They recovered three superb starlings they say didn't get too far. That's the bird you see there on your screen. The zoo is still looking for a hooded vulture and two peed crows. And stay with us as we continue to cover the impact from this latest storm and our weather in the coming days. We're bringing you the very latest updates on air, online, and always streaming on the CBS News app.
Well, now to some sad news from San Francisco. Police have confirmed that the body found near Pier 39 yesterday is that of Jeffrey J.V. Vandergriff. Popular host of Wild 94.9 was last seen exactly a month ago near his home in Mission Bay. Police say there's no evidence of foul play. JV has been on the Bay Area airways for decades, and recently he's been very open about his own ongoing struggles with Lyme disease on his morning show. There's a memorial now set up for JV outside the radio station where we found one of his loyal listeners.
He always had a positive presence on the radio, and growing up in the Bay, you don't really hear that much, so I thought it was really great. You know, he always was great to wake up with.
Wild 94.9 released a statement in part, quote, JV, we'll miss you. You are forever a Bay Area icon. And if you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, you can get help anytime. Just call or text 988. That's the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Excuse me, rumblings from San Francisco City Hall getting word a supervisor may run against Mayor London Breed in 2024. Supervisor Asha Safai says there's a chance that he'll run for mayor next year. He says he'll make a final decision sometime this summer. The two-term supervisor and former union leader has been known as an ally of Mayor Breed. The two have aligned on key issues involving homelessness and public safety.
Oakland is still dealing with the fallout of a ransomware attack. It's been several weeks since hackers gained access to city data, including information on employees dating back for more than a decade. And today, I asked Mayor Sheng Tao where things stand on resolving that issue.
This is what we're seeing as a result of decades of underinvestment into our IT account. But we are going to be shifting that and investing more into our IT account. Right now, we're about at 75% of our systems are back up and running at full speed.
And the mayor also gave us an update on the search for a new police chief. She says the chief commission has started that process of interviewing candidates nationwide. They'll refer about 2 to 4 to her for reviews. But I asked her, though, if she had a preference on hiring an insider versus an outsider.
I'm an Oakland gal. And so for me, for every department, my preference is always going to be from here in the city of Oakland. However, I do know and I do believe that Oakland deserves the best of the best. So if we find someone that isn't from Oakland, who's able to really create that transformational change around making sure that we have trust between community and OPD and really getting us out of the federal government, then that will be what we'll go with. But again, the police commission gets the first say.
And the mayor fired LaRon Armstrong last month after an outside investigation found he mishandled two police misconduct cases.
Members of the Oakland City Council are introducing legislation to phase out the ban on rental evictions. This comes after landlords protested a city council meeting this week, demanding to end the rule. The statewide evictions ban designed to keep people from becoming homeless during the COVID economy expired last year. But the Oakland plan would slowly ease protections for renters starting in May and fully end by the fall. Well, after months of buildup, lawmakers finally got their chance to grill the CEO of TikTok.
Yeah, it was a bipartisan grilling with both Democrats and Republicans worried that data from U.S. users could be used by the Chinese government. CBS reporter Skylar Henry is following the hearings from Washington.
Your platform should be banned.
Republican Kathy McMorris Rogers came out swinging. The committee chair called TikTok a threat to national security and to American teenagers.
Within minutes of creating an account, your algorithm can promote suicide, self-harm, and eating disorders to children.
TikTok's CEO pledged to keep safety a top priority and to protect the platform from Chinese government manipulation. And he said TikTok has built a firewall to seal off American user data from Chinese access.
The bottom line is this: American data stored on American soil by an American company, overseen by American personnel.
That promise wasn't enough for skeptical lawmakers who continued bipartisan calls to either ban or restrict TikTok in the U.S.
You'd be willing to make that commitment that from now on you won't collect location health data without what you're saying at all. Is that a commitment?
This is data that's frequently collected by many other companies in our industry.
I know other companies do it. I don't think they should.
In advance of the hearing, TikTok gathered a group of influencers on Wednesday to protest the Biden administration's threat to ban the app unless it divests from its Chinese owner.
TikTok has given me and countless others like me the opportunity to showcase our talents.
But a CBS News poll shows 61% of Americans support a ban. Lawmakers gave examples of TikTok's content causing harm.
Your technology is literally leading to death.
While the CEO vowed to earn the country's trust.
Well, people living in Pajaro returning to their homes for the very first time after a levee broke, flooding the small community. That happened back on March 11. But local officials now letting residents in to assess the damage and begin cleanup, but not live in their homes until they have been cleared for health concerns. Many of the homes are still without power, clean water, or sewer service, so officials are providing people with mobile cleaning, toilets, shower, and laundry stations. They're also handing out bottled water and information on relief support at local shelters.
All right, let's turn our attention now to the Sierra Nevada. We have a break in the storms that's making it easier for driving conditions. That's good news. That's I-80 on the left, Highway 50 on the right there. Pavement, though, as you can see, a little wet. But other than that, traffic moving now with no restrictions.
But we're getting new details on a hostage situation, deadly police shooting in San Jose that happened late last night. Police say the suspect broke into a woman's home on Boynton Avenue, barricaded himself inside with her and her two children. He was armed with a machete and a handgun, and patrol officers were joined by special ops units. At some point, an officer shot the suspect. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. Three hostages were all rescued without injury.
This is a very traumatic experience for everybody involved, not just the family, but the officers as well.
Police say they're going to have more information next week. The case is now being investigated by the police department itself, as well as the district attorney and an independent auditor.
Livermore police have arrested a 29-year-old man who they say is responsible for stealing from a local Little League, as well as a high school student's bike. The first theft happened back on the 15th when the Granada Little League reported that someone broke into their umpire's storage shed, stealing $3,500 worth of equipment. The next day, a Livermore High School student reported their $2,400 electric bike was taken from a campus storage area. After looking over surveillance video, police managed to track down the suspect and recover all of the stolen items.
Well, BART is gearing up for some system-wide changes. The transit agency says they're set to install brand new fare gates at all of its stations. BART says the $90 million project will bring new 3D sensor gates to all the entrances, improving safety and overall rider experience. The new gates won't have those orange fins that riders may be used to. Instead, clear paneled swinging gates will make it harder for fare evaders to jump the turnstiles. The project is planned to be completed by 2026. Well, students in Denver rallied at the Colorado State Capitol today, once again asking for tougher gun control measures. Their march comes a day after a 17-year-old student allegedly shot and wounded two administrators on a school campus. The teen suspect was later found dead. Students today went inside the Capitol demanding gun reform and a safer learning environment.
Some powerful stories today from single mothers in San Mateo County. They stood with former Congresswoman Jackie Speier as she announced a new initiative to fight childhood poverty. The goal? To help women like Christina, who are struggling to care for their kids despite working multiple jobs.
Despite working all these hours and all this time, I still struggle to put food on the table and a roof over our head. I lived at a one-bedroom apartment just last week. The rent was $2,500. The landlord said no once I told him it was four of us. I'm here today because I think it is important to dispel the myth that people like me are lazy. We're not. We work a lot.
This is our local moonshot. I believe we can do it, and I believe we must do it.
Jackie Speier has called this her greatest campaign in 40 years of public service. San Mateo County is the fourth richest county in the U.S. But Speier says 2 out of 5 children go to bed hungry each night. She plans to begin by fundraising and launching pilot programs to look for solutions to help families in need.
Well, the Manhattan District Attorney says former President Trump created a false expectation of his arrest, and that may have not made any decisions and have not made any decisions in their investigation into hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels. That comment came in a letter to the Republican chairs of three House committees after they accused the DA of abusing his authority. The grand jury is still hearing evidence in the case. They're expected to meet again next week as part of the Trump investigation. Well, Hyundai and Kia recalling more than 570,000 SUVs and vans because, well, they may catch fire. The issue, their tow hitches could cause electrical shorts. That recall includes the 2023 Hyundai Santa Fes, Santa Cruzes, and Kia Carnivals, as well as the fewer, slightly older versions. Hyundai says it received one report of a fire sparking. The company is now advised parking the vans and SUVs away from structures until taking them into a dealership for free repairs.
Listen up. Russian River Brewing has changed the release dates for this year's Pliny the Younger. And get this, It's going to be available tomorrow.
Let's
go. Friday the 24th. Got to go wait in line. It goes through Thursday, April the 6th.
There's people driving up right now.
Absolutely they are.
To sit in line. They're going to have their little benches and their little tents. Well, they say COVID forced them to push the February release date back to March in 2022. Turned out to be a better time to roll out the annual classic, so they decided to stick with it.
Well, that's it for the news at 5. Stay tuned for a special edition of the CBS News Bay Area coming up at 10 o'clock.